Thanks, Al, for leading us in that portion of our service this morning. I want to invite you to turn in your Bible or your pew Bible, whatever you have with you this morning, to Matthew chapter 3, and then, of course, a few Luke and Ephesians after that. So the second sermon in this series of emotionally healthy spirituality is entitled The Great Temptation Towards a False Self. And we're going to continue to identify our false self, and we're going to look deep into who we are as people, and there's another message wrapped around that again this morning. And so let's begin by reading the Word of God and dig into this message today. Matthew 3, verse 17. Notice that this section is entitled The Baptism of Jesus, and I'm taking the last verse out of that today. And so we know that he come to John the Baptist, and he's in the Jordan River. Jesus is baptized. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the Lord, from heaven, a voice, says these words to Jesus. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Okay, so that's our verse for today. That's going to be our main verse I want to focus on, but also now turn back to Luke chapter 4, verse 1 through 13. And this is the temptations of Jesus in the desert by Satan. There are three temptations that he faces here, and we'll put this all together in the message this morning. But do follow along as I read to you. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." But Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. And then if you'd turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. And this is instruction for us. This is what it says. "You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we've read from your word, may you bring that word to life through your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray for those that have gathered here today. Lord, fill them with that same spirit, and I pray that you open their minds, their hearts, and their souls to receive your word. Lord, teach them to live this life in a biblical Christian way, in the way you want them to live. And Lord, I also pray for me today, as Lord, I pray for that same spirit to fill me as I bring your message to your people. Lord, may you bless these words. And Lord, may these be your words and never mine. And Jesus, I pray, amen. Augustine wrote in his Confessions in AD 400, "How can you draw close to God when you are far from your own self?" Ponder that question a little bit this morning. How can you draw close or closer to God if you don't understand yourself? And awareness of yourself and your relationship with God are intricately related. If you want to know the Lord at a deeper level, you need to know your true self. That's how you grow spiritually. That's how you mature in your faith. John Calvin, the father of the Reformed faith and much of the Reformed doctrine, once said in his Institutes of Christian Religion, "Our wisdom consists of two things in this world, in this life: the knowledge of God and the knowledge of ourselves." The vast majority of us will go to our graves never knowing truly who we are. And you'll understand more of that in the message this morning of what that might look like or mean in your life. And if we don't fully understand ourselves, we can't spiritually and emotionally mature in our faith. Now, let me give you a disclaimer here this morning. If you think that you can mature alone in your faith and by the work that you do, you are being totally misled. Because it is simply by the work of Jesus Christ in your life through the Holy Spirit that lives within you that does that work. But the question is do you allow that Holy Spirit to do that work? And that's what I'm going to get at this morning as we learn together. And so there are things that you and I need to understand about ourselves to move forward in our lives. Now, you remember I brought up the statement last week, how long have you been a Christian? And some of you might have said maybe a year or 10 years or 22 years, but most of us are maybe 22-year-old Christians doing the same thing over and over and over. Essentially, we're one-year-old Christians, and we stop growing in our faith. And that's not my goal for you. So I'm going to challenge you this morning in different areas of life and what that might look like. And so before Jesus was tempted, and this is what I want you to understand. We sang a song this morning. Does everybody remember the name of it? Nobody remembers the name of the song. It's in your bulletin. One thing remains. What was the one thing that you sung about this morning that remains? The love of God. The love of God. When you leave here this morning, you are going to understand the love of God for your life and what that means. And so I want to start out, and if you have your Bible open this morning, you can flip back to Matthew 3, verse 17, and here's what it said. Because the Father made sure that Jesus Christ understood who he was. And this is what he said to him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." So what he said to his son. Now Jesus had a full understanding of who he was. Now he had one advantage, of course. He is God, right? The triune God. He's got that wisdom. You and I need to grow that wisdom, and we need to learn that wisdom through the teaching of the Word of God. But we also need to know the love of God for ourselves. But this is what God essentially says to Jesus. You are lovable. You are good. It is so good that you exist. Essentially, that's what he says to his son. Remember, he just got baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, and God speaks these words to him. And this is before he's performed any miracles. This is well before he goes to the cross to die for our sins. God the Father speaks these words to him. And yet the Father says to him, "You are deeply loved." This love is the foundation of how Jesus feels about himself. He knows he's greatly loved by the Father. He knows he's cared for beyond anything that he could imagine, and especially us. You and I are no different. You and I are a treasure to God. You and I are deeply loved, period. If we can understand the knowledge of God's love for us, you can accept your true self. Because nothing in this world at that point matters. Did you hear what I said? Nothing in the world at that point matters if you truly understand the depth of the love of God that he has for you and I. That's a pretty big statement, isn't it? But that's where he calls us to live. That's the faith he wants us to have. You and I can live authentically when we accept that kind of love. You and I can trust God in all circumstances when we can accept that kind of love. But I'm sorry to tell you a few things that you're going to face. Temptation is going to steal that love from you. And most of us will allow Satan to take that kind of love from us and cause us to live in fear, with anxiety, all kinds of things that we face in this world because we lose sight of God's love. And we get caught up in the things in our daily lives. And so let me share with you what those things might look like and the different temptations that Jesus experienced you're going to face. And I want to bring them not only from Jesus' day of what he faced, but I want to bring them to today. What's it look like in my life? How do I lose that love that God wants me so bad to have? And here's temptation number one. And if you have your Bible open, it's Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13 that we read this morning. Temptation 1, verse 3, he says this. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become bread." Today's translation that you and I need to hear, "I am what I do." Performance. Now, you need to realize, Jesus hadn't even done anything yet. He hadn't begun his earthly ministry. Nobody believed him into this point. He hadn't done any miracles. He hadn't healed anybody yet. And yet, and maybe this, I could even maybe say this. At this point, Satan might have even been thinking, you know, Jesus, you might even be a loser because you don't have nothing yet. You're hungry and there's nothing going on, and I know you have the power, is what Satan's thinking. But this is what our culture asks us today, the same question. What have you achieved? What is it? That's the question that we're tempted with. And you know what? If I was to ask you that question one-on-one, I'd also put this on the end of that. What drives you when you get out of bed on Monday morning to go to work? What are you running after? What are you trying to fulfill in your life? And I'll bet you most of us, including me, will say there's earthly things that I want to accomplish, that motivate me, that drive me. Now, there can be good things in the mix of that, and there can be some terrible things that motivate and drive us. But here's what I want you to think about this morning. What do you do and why do you do it? Most of us measure ourselves by our success, our job, our work, the school we go into, our relationships, maybe our family. But when we fall into this temptation, we become a false self. You know, you're no longer your true self when you follow after the things of the world that force us into those types of relationships, into those types of thinking in our life. So I ask you the question again to think about temptation number one. I am what I do. What have you achieved? And who's it for? And this is Jesus' response. Let me back up one sentence here. By the way, all those things that you and I achieve don't matter to God. They're not important to him. He might want you to have those things, but they are far off the radar when it comes to his love for you. They don't matter to God. And this is what Jesus responds to Satan with when he's tempted with that. Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Your performance doesn't matter by the world's standards. It only matters to God the Father. So why do you do what you do? That's a deep question. Now you can answer that surface level. But I want you to go home and think about that this morning. Why do you do what you do? How are you going to answer that? Are you going to answer that in worldly ways? Or are you going to answer that in godly ways? That's the temptation that Jesus faced. That's the first one. And if you're going to find your true self, you first need to accept God's love. And you have to allow Him to define you. Not your job, not the pickup you drive, not the house that you live in, not the business that you run, not your beautiful family that's got it all put together on the outside. You have to allow God to define you. And that's all that matters. But if you can live there, there's freedom there. And that's the freedom that God talks about. Remember I talked to you last week about the yoke? For my burden is light? That's the freedom I'm talking about. When you can live and know your true self and why you live and get up every day. Because it's for God the Father. Temptation number two. Luke 4, 5 through 7. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. Right there is a miracle in itself, if you think about it, how they could see everything. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it'll be all yours, is what he said. Now the devil basically said to Jesus, look around you, look at what everyone else has. You don't have anything. You've been in the desert for 40 days. You don't even have food. Nobody's following you. Nobody even knows who you are, is what he's thinking. And you know what? Satan played on Jesus' fear of security. But Jesus didn't fall into that temptation because he knew who held his security. He was essentially telling Jesus, how will you survive? How can you think you're a somebody? In fact, you're a nobody, Jesus, is what he said. And here's where it hits home. Today's translation. I am what I have. Possessions. They might define you. I hope not, but I'm afraid that they probably do for most of us, if not all of us. Our culture measures our success by what we have. Some of you young people, listen up. Maybe even older people, listen up. Why do you have to have the latest iPhone? Why do you have to have the $120 pair of blue jeans? Or that fancy shirt, or the right kind of tennis shoes. Why? Possessions. Because in the face of God and the love that He has for you, those mean nothing. See, you're allowing yourself to be measured by the world at that point. Not by God, but by the world. This is how we measure ourselves. Who has the most money? And here's one that I've really noticed that's become a big issue. Who has the most beautiful body? The most comfortable life? The most toys? The biggest house? You see, my culture, my family of origin, we talked about that a little bit last week. My flesh tell me that only possessions and talents and applause from others is what measures my success in the world that I live in. That's not at all what the Bible teaches. What does Jesus have to say about that? This is what he says. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan. Get out of here. I don't need your stuff. And so Jesus is telling us, let God be our true anchor and our true source of security. That's what he says. That's where you'll find your true self. In fact, when Jesus says, away from me, Satan, I think this is what he means as well. He's saying to you and I, you don't need these earthly possessions for godly security. You simply need him. But why do we run to all those things? That's a question I want you to wrestle with as well today. Temptation number 3. Luke chapter 4, verse 9 through 11. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. And he said, if you're the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. There's protection there is what Satan's trying to tell him. And this is what goes on. So Satan invited him to throw himself down the mountain so people will see and believe in him. At this point, remember, nobody hardly knew who he is yet. I'm assuming that his mother probably knew who he was, and maybe some of his brothers and sisters and so on. But he hadn't performed any miracles yet. And I think this is what Satan was trying to say to Jesus. If you want to get noticed, make a splash in the world. Let people see who you are for real. So what does that say to us today? I am what others think. Right? How many of us worry about those things? Popularity is what we get hung up on. Most of us place a high value on what other people think or they see. Here are some ways to measure that. What kind of career will I pursue, and why will I pursue it? Think about popularity. Why are you doing the things you do? What kind of vehicle will I drive? Young people might ask, who will I date? Or who will I marry? Because it's all about status, isn't it? Status in the community, status in the school system, status in college. It's all about status in our lives. Status at all levels is huge. And it adds to our false self. Because that's not who truly you are, and you start pursuing those things for the things that you do in your life. And here is a good question I'm going to ask you this morning. It's a good way to check to see if you got a problem with popularity in the world that you and I live in. Here's the question. If your self-image soars with a compliment, and it is devastated by criticism, you might have a false image of self because you're accepting the praise and criticism of this world, not of God. Some of us get all beat up when somebody criticizes us. And some of us get big swollen heads when somebody praises us. You see, you're measuring yourself by the world's standards at that point. And if you truly understand the love of God the Father and the love that he has for you, you see, none of that matters. Your popularity doesn't matter because you're so loved by God the Father. Now, let me add one more verse to this yet today. I didn't have you read this, but we're going to see it here this morning. With this awareness of the different false selves that those temptations that we allow to come into our lives and we become not who we're supposed to be when we live in those types of things. We'll hear this word, 1 John 4, verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Some of those temptations that you're hearing that this is how I need to live, this is what I need to wear, this is the car I need to drive, this is where I go to school, those can sometimes be false prophets. They're not the will of God. You need to test those and know that this is where God wants me to live. And you need to be okay with that in your life. Because sometimes those false prophets, they're loud. And they pull us into those false selves that I've been preaching to you here the last few weeks. Into somebody you're not supposed to be. Or in a place that you're not supposed to be at. It might look good on the outside. Did we talk about polishing here a week or two ago? We did, didn't we? Polish, right? Some of us like to polish our Christian lives and look like we have it all together and so on. See, that's far from what God thinks. You're not your true self at that point. And so God says, test the spirit. Listen to the voices that are in your head. Are they from God? Are they of the world? You need to be able to sort through that stuff. And sometimes God will prod us to places that make us uncomfortable. We don't maybe want to go there. But guess what? That probably is the better choice if you trust God. If you obey His leading. Because if you can trust God and you know the love that He has for you, you're okay to go anywhere in this world. You're okay to do anything in this world. You're okay to wear any kind of pants or clothes or drive any kind of vehicle in this world if you trust the love of God. Because nothing else matters. Let me put a disclaimer on this morning so I don't get 15 phone calls Tuesday morning. If you drive a new vehicle, that is totally fine. If you got a nice house, that is totally fine. But I want you to keep it in perspective of those things that you have. Do you honor God through them? And I can relate that to so many things. Your position in life, the work that you do, the type of business that you run. How big is it? How small is it? What kind of possessions do you have? You see, I could go on and on. But I'm not going to. You get it. I'm not here to beat you up this morning by the goodness and the blessings that God has given you. But what I want you to realize is that God loves me deeply for no matter what things go on in my life. The things that affect me, the things that will show up tomorrow that I did not expect, I need to know that God still loves me. And it's going to be just fine because I'm in God's love. That's how you get to that emotionally healthy spirituality. I have a story to share with you this morning. Anybody know Irving Berlin? If you were a musician, you might know him. You will know him at the end of this story here this morning. And so what I want you to understand through this story that I'm going to share with you this morning is the depth of God's love for you and I. All right? Now let me tell you about Irving Berlin and what he did and what he does. He wrote songs such as God Bless America, and we recently came through the Advent holiday Christmas season. He also wrote the song, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas. Anybody know that song? All right, I'd sing it for you, but you guys would all leave. All right, but he had hundreds of songs that he wrote and he published, and just a great songwriter. And in fact, I believe that the song, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, is still the all-time best-selling musical score at the holidays, Christmas time. Sells every other song yet today. So he goes into an interview to the San Diego Union, the newspaper there, and he interviews with a guy by the name of Don Freeman. And so Don asked Irving Berlin, is there any question you've never been asked that you would like someone to ask you? And Irving responded, well, there is one that I would like to offer up. And he said this, what do you think of the many songs you've written that didn't become hits? That's what I'd like people to ask me. And his reply would be that I still think they are wonderful. God, too, has an unshakable delight in what and whom He has made. Look at the bottom of the screen in the blue box this morning. The Lord thinks each of His children are wonderful, and whether they're a hit in the eyes of others or not, He will always think they are wonderful. because the things of this earth don't matter. It's about your relationship to Him and the love that you accept that matters. And so my question as you leave here today, will you accept that love, that deep love that He spoke over His Son the day He was baptized, whom I am well pleased, and I love Him. And that's before He even started His earthly ministry. That's the deep love that God wants us to know about. And if you can find that deep love, you can live your true self. And your burden will be light, and His yoke will be easy. And today, if you're struggling with things, and your burden is heavy, I'm going to ask you to pray for God's love in your life. That's what it's all about. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father,